Good morning. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here. Thank you for joining us, whether it be in person or online. It's wonderful to be able to gather and worship and learn and grow together. My name is Ben Heide. I will be your worship leader here this morning. George and Catherine Heide will be worship and music. Lisa Heide will have a children's item. And Pastor Wes Gertsen will be bringing us prayer and sermon later on. We acknowledge our presence on the lands of the Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and the Métis Nations. We recognize that we are guests on this land and will be mindful of our impact as we critically look at colonial history and the present-day implications. We acknowledge that this is a first step in the fulfillment of our responsibility and commitment to truth and reconciliation. Today is a noted day where we celebrate mothers. I am thankful for my own mother, for our boys' mother, and the roles they have in our lives. I also want to recognize that not all is easy today. Some who desire are unable to be mothers. There are mothers who have been lost, and there are also losses that are grieved today. There are broken and difficult relationships between generations. And then there is inequality and issues of neglected rights around the globe, which can make today somewhat hollow. While we are ever grateful for mothers, the nurturing qualities that our God shows us, we recognize that today can also be a difficult day in some respects also. Call to worship this morning. I want to read a prayer written by Catherine Hawker. And I think it just embodies the familial aspects of the day we're celebrating today as part of families, but also the bigger family of the Kingdom of Christ. The Spirit of God calls us from many places. Some of us come from busy homes with many people. Some of us live alone. We are part of a family. This week has been different for each of us. Some of us have had happy news that we want to celebrate. Some of us have faced grief and we need to cry. We are members of God's family. We all come to the same place, all of us seeking God's presence in our lives. All seeking God's presence with each other. Together, we become God's family. And Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in the green pastures, and he leads me beside still water. He restores my soul and leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. We will now also have a time of confession, and I will have a space where, if you will, the opportunity is there for silent confession, contemplation, And then also, I will close that this time with an assurance of the forgiveness of Christ. And then we will follow with music and move on from there. Loving God, present and near, you are beyond our words and our understanding. Help us to remember that you are at once infinite, boundless, timeless, and eternal, but at the same time, intimately entwined with our lives. You are with us no matter where we find ourselves. When we have forgotten you, Lord, have mercy. When we have failed to speak words of love, Lord, have mercy. When we have neglected the need of another, Lord, have mercy. Loving God, you are present and you are near. Help us to recognize your presence and your nearness with us as we worship together. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Take your hymnal, Navy hymnal, and turn to 46, number 46. Stand if you may, and let's rejoice. 46. Great crowd. Number 20. Sing verse 1, verse 2, and repeat verse 3.
Come and see God.
And on the overhead, I surrender all. There's a little ad in the chorus. You'll fall into it. I know you will.
Up. Let's go over here. Come on, you can come a little closer because I have pictures and I won't bite you today. We're going to read a story. It's called What is God Like? I want you guys to listen really hard because in here there's two things that God is like that we've already talked about today. So I want you to hear, see if you can pick out what those two things are. And then I also want you to think about what is your favorite thing that God is like, which maybe will become clearer as I read the story. Do you want to, if anybody is going to cuddle close to me today, it could be you. No. Okay. Sorry. This is written by Rachel Held Evans and Matthew Paul Turner. This was Rachel Held Evans. She had half written it, but when she passed away, and then Matthew Paul Turner finished it, and he is a fabulous children's book author. Okay. What is God like? That's a very big question, one that people from places all around the world have wondered about since the beginning of time. And while nobody has seen all of God, because God is far too big for any of us to fully see, we can know what God is like. God is like an eagle, sharp-eyed and swift, with wings so wide that you can play under their shadows. God is like a river, constant and life-giving. When you grow near God, you will sprout up as strong as a tree. God is like the stars, forever present and bright. Even when they feel far away, you can always look up and see them winking at you. God is like a shepherd, brave and good, a protector who loves her sheep so much that she watches over all of them and knows each of them by name. God is like a fort, strong and secure, with walls that are mighty and safe. Inside, there are hidden places that you go when you are scared or if you need a place to rest. God is like a gardener, patient and nurturing. God waters plants, waters weeds, fertilizes the earth until every good thing grows, until every good thing on it seeks the nourishing sun and grows. You guys can all read now so you know what I make mistakes. God is like the flame of a candle, warm and inviting. With God close by, you can look to the light and see through the darkest nights. God is like the wind, passionate and full of mystery. God is both here and mysteriously over there. God is everywhere, swirling throughout the world, whistling across mountain ranges, rustling through trees, and pressing against your cheeks on a breezy day. God is like an artist, creative and unpredictable, and always busy making and remaking everything brilliant and new. God is like a mother, strong and safe. You can crawl up into her lap whenever you want to, and she will hold you until you fall asleep. God is like a father, gentle and safe, and he will put you on top of his shoulders and give you a bird's-eye view of all of creation. God is like three dancers, graceful and precise. They move to the same music in very different ways, showcasing all of God's elegance and rhythm in your life. God is like a rainbow, vivid and full of color, and dazzling reminder of promise and hope for all people after a storm. God is like a best friend, faithful and true, closer to you than your brothers or sisters. And because we know what God is like, we know that God is kind, and God is forgiving, and God is slow to anger, and God is quick to be glad, and God is happy when you tell the truth and sad when things are unfair. She is your protector. He is trustworthy. They are friends when you feel all alone. God hopes, and God preserves. What is God like? That is a very big question, one that people from places all around the world throughout all of time have answered many different ways. Keep searching and keep wondering and keep learning about God. But whenever you aren't sure about what God is like, think about what makes you feel safe, what makes you feel brave, and what makes you feel loved. And that is what God is like. Amen. So what were the two things that we've already talked about today that God is like? Were you paying attention? What did Zane draw? Sheep. And do you remember the psalm that Ben read this morning? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So God is like a shepherd. And what day is it today? It's Mother's Day. God is like a mother, strong and safe. So what was the other, was there anything else that you liked that God was like? That stood up to you today? The God is like a dad? Yeah. Anything else? How about a gardener? Did any of you guys dig in the soil this week? This is still a little early. Maybe this week coming up, we'll get to dig in some dirt. All right. Amen. You guys can go sit down.
Thank you, Lisa and kids. I will be reading scripture this morning. There will be a passage from Revelation 7. I will pray for the offering. Then we will have a gospel reading from John chapter 10. And then I'll invite Pastor West to come up and we will pray for him and his message. In Revelation 7, verses 9 to 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." And he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more, thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life, to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." For offering, we're still in the habit of, you can leave it at the back there. There's a plate on the table, or make your online donation to the email address of the church, or put it in Peter Neufeld, the treasurer's mailbox. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize that you are the giver of all good gifts. Whether they be monetary, whether they be talents, whether they be emotions, all good things come from you. We thank you for the gifts that you share with us, and may we have the courage, the generosity to pass them on. In your name we pray. Amen. And the gospel passage, John chapter 10, verses 22 to 28. This one is in your bulletin also, if you'd like to follow along. I'm not sure if I have exactly the same translation, so you get the idea. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But if you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Pastor West, you want to come up? Lord, we thank you for Pastor Wes, for his attention to detail, the earnesty which with he seeks after you. Bless his message, bless him as he shares with us here this morning. Amen. two notes, two images we could add to Lisa's story. Unless I missed them, I spaced out for just, I think, a page. Was the lamb there? Lamb was not there. Yeah, God is both lamb and shepherd, which is kind of mind-blowing. And then also, not in our passage today, a lion, the Lion of Judah, which Jesus is sometimes known as. So lion, lamb, and shepherd, which is kind of bizarre, which is why you can't just stick to one image. And in the Old Testament, this is totally aside for free. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew people don't do a lot of speculating about what God is like in terms of an image. You get it a little bit in things like Daniel, the apocalyptic language, but most of the time you get a verb. You don't get what God is like, but what God does. And so God is like the eagle because God flies over us and covers us with the pinions or the wings or even the talons to keep us safe. Or pulls us close like the hen, but it doesn't say like the hen so much as pulls us close and puts us under like a brood hen. But there's language, a lot of language of action, what God does. So if you're looking at the Old Testament, yeah, pay attention to those verbs that tell what God does. Thanks for the story. The art there is great too. Transition. Insert transition here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have, I cut down a whole lot of things. I thought one gift I could give you is a little bit of time. And as we have communion, I'm going to give you kind of two, I don't know if vignettes isn't quite the right word, but so one is will address John, one will address Revelation. So if the Revelation piece isn't really kind of near and dear to you, maybe keep your finger in Revelation 7. But the two kind of maybe the main sentences would be, yeah, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Now I think you've all been there. Whether that's a family gathering, maybe even a church meeting, or some sort of public function, but imagine that just a typical kind of social get-together where there's a few families with kids together. The adults are upstairs fellowshipping, eating because the kids have finally eaten, and the children are downstairs. It kind of seems like it's always they're downstairs, but they're downstairs or they're outside. They're someplace out of sight and mostly out of mind. But all of a sudden, someone's crying, or more likely, somebody's screaming. Okay, you can imagine this, right? Here's the truth, though. For most of the men, none of that has happened, right? That hasn't happened. What the men have noticed most of the time is that the women have stopped talking, they've tensed up, and they have looks of concentration on their faces. And then they hear the cry as well. Moms know almost immediately if it's their child crying. I know that one. It's mine. I don't know if moms can turn off that ability. It's kind of a superpower, actually. But I suspect that superpower, maybe they can't turn off because it's just powered by love. That love, that immediate care and concern, that instant discriminating knowledge, that is good. And it's part of the image-bearing quality that is kind of natural to mothers. That's part of what it means to bear the image of God. The I know my own, and they cannot be snatched away. They will not go unnoticed on my watch. It doesn't matter if there's a hectic rush leaving before going to church, like before getting into the car, or if the house exploded. It doesn't matter if the kids weren't good
or the kids were yelling, or the kids were yelled at in the car ride over, when the child cries out, a mother knows and cares. And this is what God is like. Elizabeth Johnson, a Lutheran theologian, says this about God while meditating on our passage from John 10. Never does our status before God depend on how we feel, on having the right experience, on being free of doubt, or on what we accomplish. It depends on one thing only, that we are known by the shepherd. The shepherd does not say, do this, and then maybe. So today, may you experience God's care, free of caveat. May you hear and heed the voice of the good shepherd who knows your voice. And may you follow the slain lamb into abundant life. The second piece here is school pickup. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, they crowd around the doors outside the school. Before it was in the wind, now we're out of the wind, except the wind has come from the east a lot these days. The parents, grandparents, they chat outside until the kids start to issue forth. And then they wave, they crane their necks, they call to their children. And the kids, they come out into the light, some bouncing, some like blinking and blanching from the sun because it's so bright, especially these days. Some come out hesitantly. Some come out like looking a little bit scared or dazzled. Maybe it's the light. Maybe it's because it's this crowd of strange adults. Some come out tired. Some come out full of energy, like just raring to go. But almost always, you see their faces light up when they land on their person, when they hear their name. Yeah, maybe it's just long enough for them to like ditch their wet gloves and their backpacks at your feet before they run to the playground, but they do it. And you can, if you go, you can see this happen about 100 times over every single school day. There's something deeply satisfying about being looked for, recognized, called to, and invited in. That too is the love of God calling us home. The throne room and the Lamb is the one place, the one person who knows and calls us intimately at the gut level home, individually, yet together, home. In some ways, the school metaphor doesn't work at all because you come out of the school and everybody goes to their own home. But that lighting up of the eyes, that like deep comfort, that's what God offers all of us together. Around the throne in John's vision are people from every nation, tribe, people, and language, and each of them is home. And maybe it's significant that John sees a lamb at the center, not a Jewish king. No one of the saints is more at home than another. Each is there because of the Creator and the Lamb. And salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to that Lamb. Imagine if we took these two pieces to heart, one that God intimately knows each one of us, each one of you, and that God, in that knowledge, calls each one of you home. But together, not individually, but together, that being at home is being with one another. And not just one another, but brothers and sisters across town and across political lines and across all the lines, all the sortings that we do. Imagine if we refused to be sorted out. And we accepted the invitation to come home and to follow. Today, in communion, there is that invitation. And the meal is a kind of practice of that throne room image. Here, there are just a few ethnicities and tribes and languages present. But around the world, this same meal is going on now, in the hours before now, and in the hours after now, as the sun moves, or as we move. So I invite you to this meal as a precursor, as a practice, as a communion with our Lord and with one another. Amen. You know what I did not grab is my wireless mic. Okay. Brothers and sisters, it is right for us to call to mind the meaning of the supper. It is a remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ for the sin of the world. It is an encounter with the risen Lord. It is a feeding on him in faith. It is a communion with one another in his body, the church. And it is an anticipation of that day when he comes again and we eat together in the kingdom. This is the Lord's table. And those for whom Christ is Lord are invited to it. Therefore, let us come to the Lord's table in faith, knowing our weakness, renouncing our sin, trusting in Christ, and seeking his grace. I will give you a couple instructions now and then try to reiterate them as we go. You will come forward when invited at the right time. You'll come down the outside aisles, come and approach, and the person on this side, on your right, will take the bread and address the person across from you, your brother, your sister. The body of Christ broken for you. And then the person here, the body of Christ broken for you. And they'll take the cup. I think they start here. The blood of Christ shed for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. And you'll take that and you'll go back to your seat and wait until everybody's been served and we'll all partake together. If you don't want to take communion or if the kids want to come up for a blessing, I have something for you, them, you. And also a blessing. I will happily pray for anybody who doesn't want or can't take communion. So let us pray. And the end of this prayer is the Lord's Prayer, which I ask you to join me in. O God of perfect love, through Jesus your Son, we've come to know you. In the company of the whole communion of saints, we come before you in this remembrance of Jesus' death with gratitude for your great redemption. We praise you in the congregation of those you've called to be your companions and servants. We thank you that you forgive those who are repentant. You did not spare your only and beloved Son, but offered him up to a bitter death. You sent us a friend of sinners and gave us a new covenant. With his stripes, we are healed. O bountiful God, gratitude fills our hearts as we come to the Lord's table. Let it be a sign to us that you are a God who forgives us gladly and accepts us graciously. Let this bread and cup show forth Christ's work of redemption. In this holy supper, make us one with him that we might be steadfast in following him. Send your Spirit to sanctify our hearts, that we might praise our Redeemer and taste his presence both now and forevermore. Let the bread we break and the cup we drink be a communion of the body and blood of Christ. Hear us for his sake, in whose name we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that our Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Bless, O Christ, the bread that we break, and make it the bread of our holy communion with you. Open our eyes that we might see you by faith on the cross as our reconciliation with God. May your immeasurable act of generosity draw us to love you and serve you always. Amen. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink of this cup and eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. O Lamb of God, you shed your blood on the cross for us. Praised be your name for your grace and your love. Bless this cup, O Lord, and make it the communion of your blood so that we might find rest for our souls and joy on the journey. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table, and you are welcome to it. Now, before you come forward, in our tradition here, we greet one another. Some places they do it with a holy kiss. You don't have to do that here. Or they pass the peace. But here, generally, we look to our brother and sister. We look them in the eye, and we nod to them that they're loved, that they're accepted, that there's nothing between you. So the peace of the Lord Christ be with you. Welcome to the table. She hasn't done it before, so you start. Take a couple. You can take a couple. My hands got gluten all over them. There. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Count. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Oh, come on. You've got friends here. Maybe share with your sister. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Dexter. Zane, thank you for the bulletin. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Oh, yeah. Read. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Okay. Can you do her?
Yep. Hey, do you want some? Do you want some pretzels?
Corvette, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Do you want some? No, don't stick them in my mouth. She doesn't want it.
Bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Did you put hers back in there? Oh, okay. Did you give her a haircut?
body of Christ broken for you.
Have you been served?
Okay. Has everybody been served? Body and the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, eat and drink. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you've set aside this bread and this cup as signs of your Son's broken body and shed blood. Through them you've made us partakers with Christ and of one another. As we go forth, give us grace to count others as better than ourselves, to love our enemies, and to seek peace. Send the Spirit of truth to keep alive in us what Jesus taught and what Jesus did. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
In your brown hymnal, 644, 644. Please stand. 644.
Go out with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in God's peace. Amen.